Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for February 11th, 2014. I'm Annalisa VanHook, and today I'll be talking with Eric Donnan about how interfering with cell adhesion through an integrin affects the behavior of triple-negative breast cancer cells. Contacts with the extracellular matrix are very important for controlling the growth, survival, and behavior of cells. Epithelial sheets are composed of polarized cells arranged in a single layer, with the cells sticking to an extracellular matrix on the basal side of the sheet, the bottom, and adhering tightly to one another through cell junctions on their lateral sides. When an epithelial cell is properly integrated into a sheet, signals from neighboring cells and from the extracellular matrix promote its growth and survival. But when cells lose polarity or lose contact with the extracellular matrix, they may be forced out of the sheet, undergo apoptosis, and die. Although losing contact with the rest of the sheet can cause epithelial cells to die, regulated delamination from epithelia is a part of normal development. The epithelial to mesenchymal transition, or EMT, is a process by which epithelial cells lose their cell polarity and their adhesion, and they leave the sheet, but instead of dying, they become migratory. EMT occurs as a normal part of development, but EMT can also occur in cancers, where it may drive metastasis. Cancer cells may detach from the primary tumor and become migratory, then move to another location where they can establish a new tumor. Integrins are cell surface receptors that mediate cell adhesion, and a new study from Eric Donnan's group investigates the effects of inhibiting integrin signaling on the growth and metastasis of breast cancer cells. Donnan spoke to me from Leiden University in the Netherlands. On the phone with me is Eric Donnan. Welcome, Dr. Donnan.
Thank you.
Cell-cell and cell matrix contacts have complex effects on tumor cells, or specifically on epithelial cancers. Can you explain why these contacts can both promote and inhibit cancer progression?
Well, I think that has to do with the fact that adhesions, whether it's cell matrix adhesions or cell-cell contacts, affect so many different aspects of tumor cell biology. And if we focus on cell matrix adhesions, these are areas where the cells bind to the extracellular matrix, and you might call them the feet of the cell. And in these areas, the integrins are the receptors that stick through the membrane and grab onto the extracellular matrix proteins on the outside. And at the same time, they connect to the actin cytoskeleton on the inside. And this coupling of outside and inside is incredibly important for, I think, virtually all signaling cascades that happen within the cell. So, for instance, the signals that promote growth of tumor cells are supported by these adhesive contacts. And therefore, it may be attractive to block the integrins or to otherwise disrupt the cell matrix adhesions. And it has indeed been demonstrated, for instance, in mouse models, that this can really inhibit the growth of tumors. But because they affect such a wide variety of signaling cascades, you also impact on things such as differentiation or cell migration, and it's very difficult to predict what the effect is going to be. And that is because different cancer types, or even different tumors of the same cancer type, have a variety of different mutations in all of these signaling cascades. And therefore, it's very difficult to predict what the effect on the overall signaling is going to be if you target integrins or you knock out an integrin or you delete in any other way a cell matrix adhesion. And I think what we found is that apparently in some instances, the effect can actually be detrimental and lead to even more effective cancer progression.
Specifically talking about beta-1 integrin, which is the integrin that you looked at in this study, how does beta-1 integrin contribute to epithelial cell biology, and how does it influence cancer development?
Well, beta-1 integrins are known to be needed for the formation and for the proper function of epithelia. And one important role that they play is that they bind epithelial cells to the underlying basement membrane. And that simply provides structure for these epithelia to form. But that is not their only role. They also provide important information that supports the signaling pathways. For instance, the signaling pathways in the mammary epithelium that are important for lactation. And there is also good evidence that beta-1 integrins are quite important for epithelial tumor cells. For instance, in mouse models, if you delete beta-1 integrins in the mammary epithelial cells, and then you switch on a certain oncogene, you find much fewer and much smaller tumors. So apparently in the mammary tumor cells, the beta-1 integrins stimulate growth signals. However, recent evidence has shown that in certain mouse models where you use certain oncogenes, for instance for breast cancer or for prostate cancer, in those cases, deletion of the beta-1 integrins actually leads to more progression and metastasis. And I think it's really not clear why this is the case.
And that's why you looked at that question more closely in this paper, you know, how interfering with integrin beta-1 affects migration and metastasis in a breast cancer model.
Yeah, so that is indeed what we did. We decided to have a look if we now inhibit or remove beta-1 integrins from breast cancer cells, what is the effect on growth, migration, metastasis, and can we understand those effects? And what we noticed is that if we inhibit or we remove the beta-1 integrins from breast cancer cells, we could see a switch in the migratory behavior. So normally, many breast cancer cells, when they move in a three-dimensional context or also in vivo, they all stick together because they have the ecadherin cell-cell adhesion receptor, which keeps the cells together. And what we noticed is if we inhibit or remove the beta-1 integrins, they seem to lose these cell-cell contacts, and all of a sudden they start to move as single cells. And this does not work for every breast cancer cell, but it works especially well for triple-negative breast cancer cells. And these are breast cancer cells that lack three different receptors and are quite difficult to treat in patients. And in those breast cancer types, when they still have the ecadherin receptor, we notice that when we remove the integrin or when we inhibit the integrin, they let go of each other and they all of a sudden start to behave as if they did not have the cell-cell adhesion receptor ecadherin. And we then wanted to see, what does this do in vivo? What does this mean for tumor growth and for metastasis? And what we noticed is that if we delete the integrin from the tumor cells, the tumors stay much smaller if we inject these cells into a mouse. But in fact, the tumor cells are much more motile and they move very effectively to the lung. So the effect on tumor growth and on tumor metastasis appears to be opposite.
So interfering with beta-1 integrin with the intent of treating a cancer might, on the one hand, inhibit tumor growth, but on the other hand, it could actually promote metastasis, promote spread of the cancer.
Yes, we think that it could. And as I mentioned, we think this is context dependent. So we see this, for instance, in triple negative breast cancer cells, but we have also examples of breast cancer cells which are already ecadherin negative, and there you do not expect this effect. We have also tested some much less aggressive breast cancer cell types, and they do not undergo such a switch. They simply stop moving altogether. So it really depends on which type of breast cancer you're talking about.
So how are those effects of beta-1 integrin on the migratory behavior of the breast cancer cells mediated? What signaling pathways are functioning downstream of that integrin to mediate those effects?
Yeah, so since we noticed this effect, of course, we became very interested in what happens within the cell that it now starts to lose its cell-cell contacts and become more metastatic. And we investigated the signaling network that was affected by depletion of the beta-1 integrins. And we found out that a network that is controlling the transcription of ecadherin was changed. And we found that if we deplete beta-1 integrins, there is actually a very remarkable cellular reprogramming. And what happens is that the TGF-beta network becomes activated, and that is a well-known network that stimulates epithelial to mesenchymal transitions, also called EMT. And as a result of the activation of this network, we noticed that the balance between a family of microRNAs and a family of transcription factors was completely changed, and this led to a suppression of E-cadherin transcription. And we discovered that this reprogramming is really essential for the change in migration and for the enhanced lung metastasis. Because if you reset this signaling network at any level, then the cell migration switches back to the collective cell migration, and the increased lung metastasis is back to its original level, just as if the beta-1 integrins were normally there. And we can do this by interfering with the TGF-beta signaling or by tilting the balance between the microRNAs and the transcription factors or by restoring E-cadherin expression. And it's quite interesting that none of these strategies affect the tumor growth, which stays low whenever the beta-1 integrins have been inhibited. So that means that there are distinct pathways controlling tumor growth and controlling tumor metastasis.
Cell adhesion signaling can have essentially opposite effects on cancer progression. So do you think it's possible to develop strategies for interfering with adhesion pathways that are specific enough to inhibit cell growth without promoting metastasis? Or would the idea be only to use these sorts of strategies in very specific types of cancers?
Yeah, that's a difficult question. So first of all, the focus is really on the possibility to block the integrins. But I think one important aspect of the work is that we show that the loss of integrin-mediated adhesion might be the trigger to drive TGF-beta-mediated EMT. And it's quite possible that within a tumor, as we've just mentioned, there are a few tumor cells which locally are not really able to attach to the extracellular matrix properly, and that those are the cells where then EMT is triggered. I think our work sort of suggests that that is certainly a possibility. But to come back to your question, what does this mean for targeting integrins as cancer drug targets? We might be able to specifically block only the growth-promoting signals if we are able to dissect out what are the growth-promoting signals and what are the, well, let's say the migration-regulating signals. But the problem, I think, is that the reasons why integrins are such attractive drug targets, potentially, is that they are so effective in regulating a large number of pathways. They are such general regulators of signaling, and that is probably why they are such effective drug candidates, because if you block them, you basically affect a large number of different pathways. So therefore, if you try to zoom in only to a selected pathway, you might have less risk, but you also might be much less effective. So, and in that case, I think it might be more wise and important to take into account these unexpected and unwanted effects on dissemination and not target those tumors where you can predict that this will occur.
Right. So therapies targeting integrins might still be effective with the caveat that they're not used in certain circumstances where they're likely to trigger metastasis.
Yeah.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for talking with me.
Yeah, my pleasure.
That was Eric Donnan discussing a paper published in the February 11th issue of Science Signaling by Truong and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.